You are listening to Free Radio Olympia.
I feel that it is my civic duty to warn you that the thunderbolt is about to strike this radio station. First, though, I would like to make plain that unless I have specific permission, I never presume to speak for anyone else, and I greatly appreciate it when everyone else returns the favor. The views expressed on this program are my views, and those views may or may not correspond with the views of the management of this radio station, their staff, their volunteers, their donors, and I can guarantee you that the views expressed on this program may not express the views of the administration at the Evergreen State College, though I do not know if any of this applies to their transdimensional doppelgangers. So I may need to consult an attorney on that one. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming.
The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before.
The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk. Hey, people. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 2nd, 2021. So how would you like to take a trip to outer space? If so, I am happy to announce the tickets will soon be on sale. According to Astronomy Magazine, you should have no problem purchasing your ticket to space as long as you're rich. Yeah, well, maybe we can get all of them to just stay up there. Next, on a largely unrelated note, as you may or may not know, donkeys and wild horses are considered to be invasive species throughout the deserts of the western states. Their rep is that they do a lot of environmental damage, and most people aware of the situation consider the presence of such species in the Mojave and the Sonoran deserts to be problematic. As is usual with nature, though, there is much more going on here than meets the eye. Yes, people, in a rich irony, it turns out that the equine species, which includes horses and donkeys, originally evolved in North America. Then they migrated to Asia before dying out in the Americas, and that in fact there were equine species in North America as recently as 12,000 years ago, which is almost yesterday in evolutionary terms. person. That means that there are probably still a few etching memories embedded in some of the environmental webs in our part of the world. In addition, it turns out that there's a little-known talent possessed by donkeys consisting of the fact that donkeys can dig wells. That is a very handy talent to have in a desert. Donkeys will often excavate these huge holes that fill with water, and everywhere that they dig these holes, they create these little micro-environments for other species to take advantage of, since the water in the wells is still there long after the streams have all dried up. According to a researcher, the water in these wells is crystal clear and delicious. These wells can be up to 6 feet deep, and they provide access to groundwater to numerous other species, such as badgers, mountain lions, deer, and birds, thus increasing the ability for numerous creatures to live in this land. Nature often seems to know her business. So I suspect that the assault upon the Capitol building last January may provide yet another example of a phenomenon that I will here refer to as the Milo Yiannopoulos effect, wherein I posit that often the best way to deal with right-wing crazy people is to simply allow them to hang themselves by their own petards. And I refer to Milo Yiannopoulos in this context because, as you may or may not remember, Milo Yiannopoulos was a far right-wing hate monger when a few years ago, Antifa activists in Berkeley, California, very publicly managed to force Mr. Yiannopoulos to cancel a speaking engagement. And with not a little irony, I noted at the time that back in the 1960s, Berkeley was the birthplace of the free speech movement. Evidently, not so much these days. However, while his speech was shut down, this incident transformed Mr. Yiannopoulos from a fairly obscure fringe lunatic into a full-fledged right-wing folk hero, who started receiving invites to speak at all the most esteemed nutcase right-wing events, up to and including even the highly prestigious CPAC conference. Antifa thus provided Mr. Yiannopoulos with advertising he could not have paid for. However, a little later, a video emerged that featured Mr. Yiannopoulos not only justifying, but indeed actually advocating for the many positive benefits to a practice that he referred to as man-boy love, but what everyone else refers to as child rape. And evidently, raping children was a bridge too far even for the mainstream right. Everyone deserted that sinking ship straight away. And CPAC thereafter immediately disinvited Mr. Yiannopoulos from speaking at their conference. And at the time, I pointed out the irony of the fact that Mr. Yiannopoulos had thus fallen because he had been allowed his free speech. Well, with their antics at the Capitol building last January, it seems that nutcase Trump supporters
may have just demonstrated the Milo Yiannopoulos effect once more. There is universal and bipartisan condemnation of their action at the National Capitol last January, and that condemnation came from nearly every corner of the political spectrum and from nearly every viewpoint on both sides of nearly every divide. Except, of course, for the hardcore Trump bots. I just heard a right-wing commentator on a popular Seattle radio station seem to experience the equivalent of an emotional breakdown on the air as she bemoaned the pictures of people doing the metaphorical equivalent of defecating upon the central symbol of our nation. And probably some of them literally did that, though I haven't heard any specific reports. And this commentator said that this was one of the worst days of her entire life. Well, I might comment on that.
Put your hands up for this, Sid.
This lady must have led a very sheltered and trauma-free life, if that was the case. But that is beside the point here. That point being, when it comes to nutcases, often it is quite enough to merely leave them enough rope and then simply allow them to play with their defective petards. Back in their heyday, petards were mostly noted for their tendency to blow up in people's faces. After all. So, we have a couple of good news stories for a change. According to a new study, 2/3 of the closely monitored U.S. fish populations that were once devastated by overfishing have now bounced back in a big way. And this bounce back is thanks largely to plans instituted 10 to 15 years ago. And in a development that some may consider to be good news, there is very good chance that the rump is going to be indicted soon. Prosecutors generally do not make the kinds of noises that these prosecutors are making unless they've got the goods. And since the rump has been a crook for his entire adult life, then that means there have always been a variety of prosecutable offenses that a variety of prosecutors could have used at almost any time over the last 40 or 50 years. They better be careful what they wish for, though. If they indict the rump, I can almost guarantee some kind of major nationwide civil uprising. And if they organize some kind of major national uprising, and especially with all of the support that the rump has amongst the military and the police, then I'm not sure whether or not they would lose. Failed coups are often preludes to successful coups.
Perhaps January 6th was just a practice run. Eh? Well, I'm pretty sure that a novel coronavirus that is killing a lot of people is indeed ravaging humanity. That said, it seems that everywhere I look these days, I'm finding more and more questions about this whole COVID thing. It would seem that a lot of knowledgeable and smart people are pointing out such things as the fact that for the ruling classes, COVID-19 has been a financial cornucopia. Yeah, they are literally cashing in. COVID is also deflecting public attention away from their disastrous decades of economic mismanagement and theft. And thanks to COVID, they have succeeded at literally isolating us from each other. Silicon Valley and affiliated monopolies are recording record profits, along with unprecedented social media censorship. Even as most of the rest of us are experiencing financial dire straits and cannot find any good information. And the consolidation of big tech with big media has created what is literally an insane Orwellian world where collective hysteria has now been shifted from bogeymen like Russia to those who disagree with their pandemic hysteria. And in the meantime, big banks, big pharma, big tech, and all the other monopolies are all getting lavish central bank bailouts or, quote, stimulus packages, unquote, so they can buy up all those bankrupted small businesses and further consolidate their monopolies. Yes, when it comes to the chosen few, COVID seems to be a gift that just keeps on giving. And as I've been reporting for years, as our financial lives collapse around our ears, they will use government programs and philanthropies to placate and muzzle us so that we don't go into open rebellion. And according to a recent Guardian report, philanthropic foundations, whose purpose is to pacify rather than to fix anything, they have multiplied exponentially in the past two decades, and they now control more than $1.5 trillion with a T. And that represents a $1.5 trillion pacifier that they have stuck in our mouths so that they can shut us up without them actually having to provide any substance. And keep in mind that barely a fifth of the money donated by these, quote, big givers goes to poor people. A lot of that, quote, philanthropic money goes to the arts, sports teams, and other cultural pursuits. And over half of that donated money goes to education and healthcare. And, surprise, surprise, the biggest donations in education for 2019 went to the elite universities and schools that the elites themselves attended. Yes, those are the schools that really need some resources these days. Eh?
And in addition to all that, it is now emerging that there is even massive corruption and a massive transfer of wealth from us and into the pockets of the elites with the passage of the CARES Act. Rather than making the world a better place, these forms of philanthropy largely serve to simply reinforce the world as it is. However, poverty, hunger, and desperation will spawn a tangible degree of public gratitude toward these programs and towards these philanthropies, in spite of their ultimately nefarious agendas, and people will often even donate to the very same institutions that are being used to oppress them. Once everything has been stolen and there's nothing left for the rest of us, history tells us that there will be a great pruning. Having outlived their usefulness, leftist politicians and assorted social justice activists will be scapegoated and eliminated, even as Big Brother completely takes over everything for everyone's own good. And as far as COVID's role in all this, I've been pointing out for years that both the CDC and the WHO are corrupt and wholly owned subsidiaries of the Big Pharma, Big Government Nexus, and that those people regularly engage in practices that kill large numbers of people for profit. Yes, people.
Professor Michael Chosudovsky, Chosudovsky, asks some very cogent questions upon this topic, such as, how is it that a vaccine for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which under normal conditions would take years to develop, was promptly launched in early November of 2020. The vaccine announced by Pfizer is based upon an experimental gene editing mRNA technology, which has a direct bearing upon the human genome. Were the standard animal lab tests using mice or ferrets conducted? Or did Pfizer go straight to human guinea pigs? Human tests began in late July and early August, and 3 months is unheard of for testing a new vaccine. Several years is the norm. Also, according to Professor Chosudovsky, quote, 6 people died in Pfizer's late-stage trial of the COVID-19 vaccine. This was revealed just hours after Britain became the first country in the world to roll out the vaccine. I had not previously heard about that. Teacher, leave the kids alone. Hey, teacher, leave the kids alone. One on which lives, another brave in the war. Professor Chosudovsky says the plan to develop a vaccine is profit
driven. It is supported by corrupt governments serving the interests of Big Pharma. The U.S. government had already ordered 100 million doses back in July, and the EU is to purchase 300 million. Yes, it's big money for Big Pharma. Generous payoffs to corrupt politicians at the expense of the taxpayers. Professor Joe goes into deep detail about how all of this, all ties into everything else that was already going on. And he goes into great detail about how we are very holistically screwed unless we get off our asses and put some kind of leash upon these Wall Street butts. It's time for a quick station break.
The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. And that is a promise, not a threat.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
This portion of the Jimmy Dore Show is brought to you by the Malibu Center for Despair. Seriously bummed out because of that thing your mom did when you were 11? Check in and commiserate with well-off people who feel sorry for themselves just like you. The Malibu Center for Despair. If you can afford to come here, you can afford to dwell on even the smallest things that poor people struggling to survive often overlook. Our opulent 67-acre campus, located on the schmancy shores of the Pacific, is the perfect environment for you to forget about the shortcomings associated with a lack of character-building adversity, so you can focus on what's really important, the unfair life of only getting most of what you want. The Malibu Center for Despair. We'll pay attention to you, unlike your dad who was always golfing with his business associates. It's the best self-absorption money can buy. Yes, every day is a pity party at the Malibu Center for Despair. Now back to the Jimmy Dore Show, already in progress.
A most excellent NPR program called Hidden Brain recently did a program on a very intelligent woman who described how when she was in college, she embarked upon an incredibly lengthy series of incredibly stupid and literally crazy series of events just because some crazy guy was manipulating her. And she had always been raised to just go along to get along and to not make waves. And this woman did not want to offend this man. This guy had an incredibly ballsy, crazy, and highly thought out plan for this woman to pretend that she was his wife. But he failed to tell her anything about it in advance.
company just kept springing crazy surprises on her, up to and including even meeting the man's mother and being introduced to her as the man's wife. And she just went along with the deception for far longer than was any way logical or even sane. And then I heard a story where some guy had fooled 35 different women into thinking that he had 35 different birthdays. He did all that in order to get a lot of presents from them. So when I hear about people who are so talented at manipulating other people, I sometimes wonder what would happen if people like that started manipulating people to start doing good things. One thing we have learned about our own brains is that we have barely tapped the potential that lies there. Now, I have written two historical novels, one called The Pied Piper of California, which is basically a novel-length sequel to the original fairy tale that is largely centered upon the life and career of Joseph Smith Jr., the founder of the Mormon Church. The other novel is called The Angel from Hell, which is centered around the life and career of Grigory Rasputin, the peasant mad monk who is often credited with single-handedly bringing about the downfall of his patrons, the Romanov dynasty of Russia. Now, both of these men were incredibly talented at manipulating large numbers of other people into doing things that were totally crazy and illogical. Both men did this by making people feel really good about the world in general and about themselves in particular. Both men were especially popular with women. And I don't know if it is connected or not, but both men, especially Rasputin, had legendary sexual appetites, and both men often had women literally waiting in line for the honor of being blessed by these men who were, to those women and to many others, literally godlike figures. Over the years, there were droves of women who left their husbands and families in order to go join Joseph Smith's church. Dozens of women at the highest levels of Russian society would sometimes literally throw themselves at Rasputin's feet. Both men were able to give a whole bunch of people something that they very obviously needed very badly. Especially the lady folk. Both men also had uncanny abilities to accurately predict the future. And both men, in fact, predicted their own deaths. And another attribute both men shared was that both Joseph Smith Jr. and Grigory Rasputin were able to heal really sick people simply by touching them. In the case of both men, this phenomenon was so thoroughly documented so many times by so many very different sources that it cannot be disputed. Even their worst enemies, and both men had literally armies of those, had to grudgingly admit that they could heal people by touching them. Often because those people had personally witnessed the phenomenon themselves. And that was how Rasputin basically gained ipso facto control of the Russian government, because he was able to relieve the symptoms of the hemophilia that plagued the imperial heir, Alexei. And Joseph Smith's famous healings were largely responsible for wowing the vast crowds who eventually joined his church. And here's the really crazy thing. Both men were kind of like little kids who just wanted to make people feel good. And both men had extraordinary ability to do just that. And so, that's just what both men did. Yes, both of these men adopted mantles of religious power, but neither man was exceptionally ideological. Joseph Smith basically just added himself and his book to already existing Christian dogma. And Rasputin adopted his "you need to sin in order to be saved" philosophy in order to make his lifestyle Christian. Rasputin was much more of a cutthroat political manipulator than Mr. Smith was. And Rasputin was a slightly darker kind of guy. But still, even Rasputin mostly unleashed political death only upon people who tried to interfere with his ability to get drunk and or to get laid anytime that he wanted to do either of those things, which is pretty much all the time. And another important thing to understand here is that the vast majority of people not only did not fall for their holy shtick, but were actively alarmed by it, especially all of those abandoned husbands and children whose wives and mothers had run off to join Joseph Smith's circus. Both men were violently murdered. Joseph Smith at age 38 and Rasputin at age 47. Until those murders, though, this mass persecution not only did not stop them, but in fact, both men often adeptly used their persecutions for political gain. And both men moved forward with their various schemes, largely unabated. The Mormons were literally forced to flee New York one step ahead of the law, whereupon they moved to Missouri, whereupon they were literally burned out of Missouri, whereupon they moved to Illinois, whereupon they were literally burned out of Illinois, whereupon in the middle of winter, and just after having had their prophet murdered, and just after having lost everything that they owned, either to theft or to fire, and whilst leaving bloody tracks in the snow due to a lack of shoes, the surviving Mormons embarked upon their famous cross-country trek that eventually wound up in Utah, where within just a couple of years, and after having started with almost nothing, they had already built themselves a thriving little empire in the desert. Now, I don't know how they did any of these things, though I suspect that it was hidden in unknown powers of the brain. The bottom line, though, is that evidently there are people who are open to being manipulated, and there are lots of people who are willing to manipulate them. Which can be either good or bad, depending upon who is doing the manipulating and to what end. And I think that this phenomenon needs to be studied a lot more. But in the meanwhile, it's time to get to work. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We at Koch Industries wanted to know what freedom means. So we got opinions from the people who matter the most. Ordinary Americans.
What does freedom mean to me? I guess it means people much richer than I can get huge tax breaks, even though they export jobs to other countries. In fact, because they outsource jobs. That should be required.
It means really rich people can spend so much money on their favorite political causes that it completely drowns out my voice. I mean, the less you hear from me, the better.
It means a pair of wealthy industrialists can prevent any meaningful progress against global warming, thus dooming the rest of us to a century of weather disasters.
And what would you do if these freedoms were taken away?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. I guess I'd shoot up a crowded mall. Maybe a college campus.
I'd blow myself up in a bus, and I'd make sure the bomb had, you know, a lot of nails and glass and stuff.
I'd start kidnapping children.
Hey, you know what? Ordinary Americans love freedom. Why don't you?
The proceeding was paid for by dark money routed through an offshore account to a dummy nonprofit and distributed to a grassroots organization that would be nothing, and I mean nothing, without our help. So maybe they should think about that.
We're most fortunate to have with us tonight the Prime Minister of Bribeira in Eastern Europe, reputedly the most corrupt country in the world. Strong Powers has the story.
Prime Minister Bakshish, your country has been rated number one on the planet for kicking back, paying off, greasing the skids.
Or my palm.
Getting a taste.
Or a bite. There are so many fun words for kickback. Our cops will arrest you unless you give them enough for a soda, which equals a couple $100.
To wash down the taste or bite.
Exactly. We are so proud of our number one rating, we changed our name to Bribeira to celebrate this happy state of affairs.
What was it before?
Catatonia. And back when we were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Bulimia.
So what brings you to these shores, Dr. Bakshish?
We have been studying your amazing system of bribery to see if we can make improvements on our own.
But you already are number one in the world.
Only number one among 187 nations on the planet that admit to pervasive bribery. America is not one of them. But your system of bribery is far, far in advance of ours in its sophistication and its sophistry.
Are you suggesting that not only is the United States riddled with corruption, but hides it behind euphemism?
Euphemism, schmoofemism. How about legality? I have just returned from several days on K Street in Washington, D.C. There, I met scores of people who we in Bribeira call bagmen or bagwomen. Amazing! But unlike Bribeira, where a bagman for, say, a car manufacturer would skulk around at night and eat in greasy spoons and leave the bribe in a filthy railroad men's room, the Auto Association of America's lobbyist walks into the senator's office and openly pays him a huge bribe to vote no on a bill that will save thousands of lives. And reporters take photos of him taking the bribe, and they call the bribe a campaign contribution. Brilliant! We are going to adopt this wonderful scam right away.
You don't have lobbyists in Bribeira?
Oh, no. We have bagmen galore, dirty, filthy, untrustworthy scum accessories to crimes against the people.
A necessary evil, surely.
Oh, yes, but we would never have these rat bags in our homes or official functions. If they show themselves on the street, we kick them in their private parts until they fall into the gutter where they belong. But in Washington, you invite your bag men and bag women to restaurants, to cocktail parties, to official functions, to shake hands in public with the politicians they bribe, and then offer them more bribes, even though they are filthy, untrustworthy accessories to crime against the people like anywhere else. Beautiful! To a connoisseur of bribery, this is a beautiful thing.
I understand you've also been studying our banking system.
Yes, and how much we Briberians have to learn. Take the incredible master criminal Jamie Dimon. No surprise he is Greek, for Greece was the number one most corrupt country in the world until Briberia knocked them for a loop off their crumbling pedestal. Like all Greeks, this Dimon is an underhanded scam artist, forger of documents, thief of private property, and robber of widows and orphans. But the scale of his crimes is sensational. Falsifying $1 trillion worth of mortgages? Foreclosing fraudulent on hundreds of thousands of properties, which his bank still owns? Gouging soldiers on active duty on their mortgages? Price-fixing credit card interest rates? Concealing wire and securities fraud in the London Whale? Awe-inspiring! In Briberia, for 1,000th of these crimes, we would coat him with honey and throw him in the bear cage to die a slow, sweet death.
Unless he paid a bribe.
Even in Briberia, there is no bribe big enough to save him. Alas, we are just not that depraved. Yet here, in this magnificently corrupt country, he stays out of jail by paying a bribe to government officials equal to the entire GDP of Briberia. $13 billion! Stupendous! Breathtaking! But it is not a bribe, oh no! It is a penalty! Just like soccer or hockey, superb! And not a single penny of this penalty comes from his own enormous $400 million net worth. Stunningly, he pays it all from the money deposited in his bank by the million or so morons who entrust a master criminal with their pathetic wages and savings. I worship this man. He has testicles the size of Jupiter.
Well, Dr. Bakshis, thank you. It's rare these days for other countries to praise the American system. As an American, it makes me proud to hear a foreigner for once admiring something we do.
And do so well. Be proud, America. Where you lead, we will always follow.
Leroy, will you do me a favor, please?
What is that, honey?
I have to go downtown.
You got to go downtown?
Yeah, will you please keep my bozo for me?
Keep your bozo?
Yeah.
Why don't you take your bozo with you?
No, I can't take my bozo downtown, Leroy.
You can't take your bozo downtown?
No.
Why can't you?
Because I can't, because they don't like bozos downtown. I want you to get caught.
But downtown is big enough to hold a horse and a wagon. I don't know why you can't take your bozo.
Leroy, please keep my bozo.
You going downtown?
Yeah, I won't be gone long.
You ain't going to be gone long?
No.
All right, well, I'll try to watch your bozo.
Okay, here it is. You watch it. Come
it's here. Your bozo?
That's my bozo.
Well, don't be going long, yeah?
Okay, Leroy.
Don't be going long.
All right.
Because I ain't never watched nobody else's bozo, yeah,
baby? Okay, well, you watch mine. I'll be right back here.
Okay, baby. Okay. What the hell is a damn bozo? Bozo! Bozo! Boozoo! That woman ain't got a damn thing in this damn sack. I'm gonna try my best to find out what the hell she got in here. Ah! Damn snake in this sack. I stomped that sucker down in it. Oh, damn snake in her sack. Boy, I'll kill that damn woman. I ain't lying.
Leroy, I'm back.
Well, you're just in time for me to knock your carburetor loose. You understand that girl?
Leroy, I want my bozo.
Your bozo is down in that sack, fat as a pancake, girl.
That ain't my bozo. That ain't my bozo.
That is your bozo. That's the bozo you brought up here.
No, that's not my bozo. I want my bozo.
That's your damn bozo. Damn your bozo, girl.
Leroy, give me my bozo.
Damn your bozo.
You better get my bozo.
I ain't got your bozo.
I want my bozo.
Well, get him out of that sack.
You don't get my bozo, I'm gonna call the police.
Well, call the police. Don't
you say that won't call?
Call him. I'm gonna call him.
Police!
Police!
Police! Police!
What's going on?
Officer.
your strong breath now. I don't have your bozo.
You do have my bozo. I want my bozo. You got it.
I ain't got
it. You have got my bozo. I want my bozo. I want my bozo.
Give the lady her bozo. Now, you're a wrong damn policeman. Come up here checking and pulling on my clothes. You know better than pull on my clothes like that. None of you police don't know a damn thing unless somebody tell you. Don't take and pull on my clothes. Now, you're a brother just like I am. They think they're doing something smart down there in City Hall. Sending a color policeman out here in the color section. Damn you.
You better get my bozo.
Damn you and your bozo.
I want my bozo.
You ain't got no bozo.
I have got a bozo. The hell with your bozo. I left it with you.
Give the lady her bozo. You pull on my clothes again, I'm gonna give outside your damn head. Look, boy, I'm going downtown and make my beat. And when I come back here, you better than give that woman a bozo.
You picked the wrong cat to pull this scene, Daddy.
Oh, yes.
Go on and make your beat. Make your beat. Beat your fool damn self to death. And you're not smart either. Call that damn policeman on me.
I want my bozo.
The hell with your bozo.
You heard what he said.
Damn your bozo.
He said you better get my bozo.
I ain't thinking about that cop.
You better get my bozo.
Woman, don't mess with me, yeah?
I want my bozo,
damn
Leroy.
Your bozo. Don't push on me.
Leroy, I want my bozo.
I have your bozo.
You get my bozo, I'm gonna call the police what? Back here.
Call him.
Yeah? Police!
I karate all over him. Call him.
Police!
I chop him damn near to death.
Get up off that damn floor.
Yes, sir. What was it?
Get out on your knees.
On my knees.
Get up off the floor.
Off the floor.
Get out on your knees.
On my knees.
Get up off the floor.
Off the floor.
Get out on your knees.
On my knees.
Get up and down at the same damn time. Raise your damn hands up.
I got him, my boy.
Get him up there.
Yes, sir.
Around here stealing women bozo.
I ain't stole a bozo.
You stole it.
No, I didn't.
You look like a damn bozo steal.
But she wrong.
Whatever a bozo is.
I don't even know what a bozo is.
Raise your damn hands up.
Yes sir.
Got nerve enough to wear a pair of gloves.
Huh?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it. Some of these damn psychedelic rags. Yeah, you got a bozo.
I ain't got a bozo.
You got it some damn way.
I don't have a bozo.
Chop, chop, raise your damn hands up.
Yes, sir.
Look, madam, I can't find your bozo. You have to find your own bozo.
Well, I'll find.
Raise him up, let us search you.
You got to get my bozo.
Stand up.
You heard what he said. Raise your damn hands up.
Stand up.
Oh, my head.
Oh, you got it.
I don't have a bozo.
I know your type.
I don't have it.
You got it.
I don't have it.
You got it.
You better get out and back there before I blow you away. She in my pocket, officer.
Shut up.
She in my pocket.
Shut up.
She got my last damn dollar.
Here's my bozo down here in his pants.
You a damn lie. That's my damn bozo.
Right. That was Bozo from Skillet, Leroy, and LaWanda. Before that, we had Bribistan from the Final Edition, and we started that comedy set off with What Freedom Means, also from the Final Edition. That's it this week. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.